Thanks to Faherty for supporting the Productivity Show. Faherty is a family-run brand making high-quality, timeless clothing with modern design and functionality. Get 20% off all your summer clothes now by going to FahertyBrand.com and using the promo code TPS at checkout. Thanks also to Calm, the number one mental wellness app, for supporting the Productivity Show. Improve your focus with Calm's curated music tracks, and then drift off to dreamland with Calm's imaginative sleep stories. Go to calm.com/TPS. For a limited time, get 40% off your Calm premium subscription with hundreds of hours of programming, unlimited access to Calm's entire library, and new content is added every week. Thanks to Amazon Music for supporting the Productivity Show. Amazon Music is a streaming platform for both music and podcasts. To try Amazon Music Unlimited free for 30 days, go to amazon.com/TPS30. Welcome to The Productivity Show, a podcast by Asian Efficiency to help you maximize your productivity so you can get everything done without having to sacrifice your health, family, and things that matter to you. We've helped tens of thousands of people save time, be happier, and become more productive. In this episode, I'm thrilled to welcome Valerie Recor. She's a productivity specialist who works with overwhelmed and overcommitted moms. With a background in mental health and corporate training, she helps people who feel like they're pulled in all sorts of different directions. Now, even if you're not an overcommitted mom, you'll still get a lot out of this episode as Valerie shares some great mental reframing tips. You can find links to everything that we share in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/366. And now, on with the show. All right, welcome back to The Productivity Show. It's just Brooks flying solo today, and I have an amazing guest with us today, and that is Valerie Recor. I'm really, really excited that you're here to talk to us. Valerie, thank you so much for being here. How's it going?
Good. I'm happy to be here. I'm excited to have this opportunity to chat with you today and share what we can with your listeners.
Right on. So might as well get started. We did a little bit of an intro beforehand, but I always like to hear from your perspective as well. So let's just get started. Who are you, Valerie? What do you do? And maybe you can tell us a little bit about your background and how you ended up doing what it is that you're doing.
Sure. So I am a productivity specialist, and I ended up here from, I worked in corporate training and mental health for several years before I had kids, and then started a professional organizing business, and that morphed into what I do now. I found that I like helping people organize their time more so than their stuff. And that came from listening to lots of friends and clients talking about how busy they are, and almost like it was a badge of honor, and me wondering kind of what are they busy doing, and is it really the right stuff, or are we just saying yes to everything that comes our way because we don't know how to take the time to step back and think about what we're doing, and so we just are busy and we feel like we should be. Our society, I think, tells us we need to be busy. And it's a combination of mental health and corporate training blends well for the work that I do, because we're talking about people's lives and what they're doing with their time, which is important. And my goal is to train people to do what they're doing without me around down the road, to hopefully kind of get them to a place where they can manage their own time on their own and deal with what's coming their way.
Perfect. So anyone who listens to the podcast will know we always like to start each episode with our top three resources. So these are three quick things that we're liking that are making us more productive lately, or readers of the blog or listeners of the podcast, or when we have guests on like you, Valerie. What we always like to do is ask if you have three resources that you're loving lately to be more productive. So if you have three, maybe you can share them with our audience.
Yeah. So it was hard to narrow this down to three. So the first one I have is Rescue Time, an app that will help you track your time, but also it has a website blocker. So if you're finding that you need to be doing some deep work on the computer, but you get sucked down the internet rabbit hole or Google or social media, you can block those websites so that you can focus on the work that you need to be doing. So that's one of them. Another one is a book that I finished reading just recently called Fair Play by Eve Rodsky, I believe is how you pronounce her last name. And it talks all about the invisible load of moms and women and all that we do behind the scenes that just keep life functioning, and how we need to bring that out into the open and how to do that with our partners. And she's got a card deck that helps you have that conversation with your partner. And I just think it's a wonderful way to bring out into the open all the work that women do that we don't get acknowledged for, that people don't see. And then the third one is just say no. So this is a resource we're just going to take on ourselves. It's not an app or a website or a book, but just learning to say no to things that come your way, to stop overcommitting yourself, especially as we move into whatever this next phase of this pandemic is, to not dive back into all the things that we were doing before, to really say yes to the things that we want in our lives instead of saying yes to everything, and just being able to say no to the things that we're not quite ready to take back on.
I love that. Yeah. Saying no is such an underused muscle that so many of us have trouble with, myself included. So I'm really glad that you included that one in your top three resources. And for Rescue Time and Fair Play, we'll make sure that we have links to those in the show notes. So wherever you're listening to this podcast, just check out your podcast player and there'll be links right there to those resources. So thank you so much. Those were great. Now, I know, Valerie, your specialty is working with overcommitted moms. And as soon as we met and you told me that, I was like, oh, yes, you definitely need to have you on the podcast, because this is 100% something that we hear a lot about from our listeners, our readers, that sort of thing. So I was so excited to have somebody that specializes in that area. But what is it about this group in particular that made you decide to specialize there? There's so many different areas of productivity that people tend to specialize in. What is it about overcommitted moms in particular that you decided to zero right in on that?
I would start with, I was one, and occasionally still say yes to things that brings me into the land of being overcommitted. And so I get it. I have definitely been there. I have looked at my to-do list and wondered how so many things got there and how I've committed to so many things and just felt that overwhelm. And from listening to friends talk about how busy they are, and me just really wanting to, and as well as just reading stories about others who just are overcommitted and feeling that overwhelm, and I just, something inside of me just wants to shift this. I'm on a mission to really get moms to let other people help, to kind of let go of taking all of it on, to really let go of doing it all. And that it's, you know, our society really breeds this in us, if you will. So we're conditioned, our society, moms are conditioned by our society to do it all. We're the ones that get the maternity leave. It's less likely for dads to get time off. So we're home with the kids when they're little. We're the ones who take time off when the kid is sick or there's a snow day or something happens and now, you know, we're taking the kids and the dads are at work. And our society has just kind of conditioned that that's just what we do. But we also want to work full time, or we want to work outside of the house, and just kind of being able to balance all of this. I want to shift that so that we're all, there's equity in there, there's equality in there, that we're all on top of this, working at this together. You know, I also want to help moms do all the bigger tasks they want to do as well. But starting here with the overcommitment, with the invisible labor, then allows us to focus on the bigger stuff as well.
There's a lot to dive into there. And I know we're going to be doing that in this episode. And I'm like, if I wasn't on the podcast, I would be taking notes, because maybe once this is recorded, I will make sure to play this episode for my wife too, because I know she can benefit a lot from this, some of the stuff you're going to talk about, 100%. But obviously we have a lot of listeners who are not moms, you know, either they don't have kids or they're just not moms and, you know, overcommitted or otherwise. Do you think some of the strategies, the productivity stuff, some of the mindset shifts that you're going to talk about today could apply to people who are not overcommitted moms specifically? Like, is there going to be something here for a wide range of listeners?
I hope so. I mean, I think this impacts all of us. I think when it comes to knowing your priorities or what the next steps are of any task or project you're working on, that's useful for everybody. And when there's flexibility in our lives and in our workplaces, I think that does impact all of us. I'd like to see flexibility across the board for everyone, not just for moms. And so I hope that listeners who are not moms will get something out of this as well.
It's interesting that you were saying about maternity leave. Do you see that shifting slowly but surely with more of a balance? I actually shouldn't say that because I don't know what it's like in the United States. I'm in Canada, but when I had kids, it was very, very rare. It was almost unheard of that would happen. But now I feel like it's happening a bit more and more where it's getting split. I know that the U.S. Doesn't typically have a year like we do here, but do you see any of that changing in the U.S. or is it still pretty mom-centric?
I think it's still pretty mom-centric, maybe in some areas, maybe in the tech world. My husband had pretty decent leave for both of our kids, but I think that's not the norm. Mm. And we certainly don't have policies in place for that. It's left up to businesses for that. But I think that's where all of this overwhelm starts. Is when it's the mom is home all of the time and the dad isn't home to connect with the kids, the babies, like mom is. And then it kind of cycles from there. And because now mom knows how to change diapers fast and what this cry means and what. And so it's just easier for mom to do it. And then it just, as the kids get older, those dynamics don't change or they're harder to change. But I think there are people and companies that are working to shift that so that it will be more more equitable, so that it's people both sides get that time to be home, and I hope that it continues that direction.
This is actually a whole separate topic on its own, but it has such a knockoff effect too, because you know if a mom chooses to take a long time, paid or otherwise, for maternity leave. Well, one thing we see in Canada is, yeah, it's great that you're off for a year and have that time to spend with your kid, but that can have negative impacts or at least slow down career progression and stuff like that. So there's so much stuff wrapped up in this topic. So I'm really glad that you're helping people deal with a lot of this stuff, because it's a minefield in a lot of ways.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Now, one thing I know from talking to listeners and the various moms that I know is they often feel like they need to or at least want to do it all. And it's not always something that is explicitly stated. Like a lot of times partners don't sit down and divide tasks or whatever. It just kind of ends up happening that way. But you know, they want to progress in their career, but they also feel like they should be making their kids eat healthy meals. They want to make sure that the family's not living in a disaster zone. They want to get the kids in swimming lessons. And there's always like a million things that they feel like they could or at least should be doing. You know, maybe they're not doing something, but their neighbor is. So, you know, you have that comparison. How do you help overcommitted moms with that? Do you help them try to do it all? Like, is that kind of what you do? Or is there like a mindset shift? Or how do you kind of like tackle this issue when you're working with someone?
So my goal is not to help moms do it all. I want moms to focus on what's most important in their lives. What are their long-term goals or visions for their life and their families, their careers? And how does that break down into short term? What is it this quarter, next 6 months, next year that they want to be focusing on, and letting the rest of it go? So, maybe everybody, I had a mom I was talking with about, we don't need to sign our kids up for every activity under the sun. They don't need to be going to multiple sports and music and whatever enrichment activities. And somebody said, but what if everybody else in your neighborhood is doing it too? And so it was like, there was that pressure of, but everybody in my neighborhood is doing all these things. If my kids don't go, they're going to be left out. And I'm wondering if there are probably other moms and families who are really tired of doing this all too, but they're feeling that same pressure. So what if you're the first mom that steps back from a couple of those activities, and a couple of other families see that that's okay? And now you've got some kids in the neighborhood that your friends can, or your kids can go play with their friends in the afternoon versus carting them across town for soccer 3 times a week or whatever that looks like. So maybe it's being that first family to step back, or that wondering if it's okay if your kids are left to their own devices for a little bit in the afternoon, that it's okay for them to figure out how to entertain themselves instead of having every minute after school or on weekends crammed with activities. So I made a decision when my kids started school that we were not attending every birthday party they were invited to. If I knew the kid or if my kids had talked about this person, that's fine. But if it was clear that maybe the entire class had been invited, we might just say no if it didn't fit into our weekend. So we weren't spending our weekends attending a bunch of birthday parties on top of whatever else we had going on. And knowing that it's okay that sometimes takeout is okay for dinner or a frozen pizza, and streamlining whatever that looks like so that if having a healthy, balanced meal is important to you on a daily basis, making that easy. So you're doing your groceries and your meal planning on the weekend or one evening a week so that you're prepared for that and that you can make that happen if that is important to you. I've long had the rule that if you come over to my house and you are going to judge me for the state of it when my kids were a little bit younger, we probably weren't really good friends because I wanted to spend time with you versus clean my house before you came over. And I think that's a big shift for moms. Like, we are conditioned to believe that the state of our house shows, you know, how we care and who we are. And that's important. And if having a spotless house is important to you, let's make sure that we find a way to do that that isn't keeping you up until 2 a.m. every night to make that happen. The other people in your household are helping with that. And so it's really figuring out what is important for you and your family and how to let go of things that might not fit in with that. And understanding that we might not be able to do it all this semester or this quarter or right now, that some of it might need to get pushed out and stuck on a put on a someday list. So that feels like a really long answer to your question there.
So it's basically, if I'm like hearing the through line from all that, it's just having this mindset of it's okay. You know what I mean? If you do 70%, 60% or whatever of the stuff you feel like that voice in your head is saying you know, you should do, it's okay. If you want to get it to closer to 100 later, that's fine. But for now, it's, you know, just getting in that mindset of it's okay. Like, and I'm not sure how old your kids are. My kids are 16 and 14 now. And, you know, you think back at the stuff that used to be important to you when they were little, and you realize, yeah, if sometimes we see like a picture scrolling by on our Google Nest of some birthday party when they were in kindergarten or whatever, and you're just like, I don't even remember who any of those kids are. So it literally would not have made a difference to any of our lives if they didn't go to that party. I'm sure they had a good time and everything, but yeah, this whole through line of it's okay. I love that message, and I hope a lot of overcommitted parents internalize that, because it is something that it can be so hard to remember in the moment, for sure. Thanks to Faherty for supporting the Productivity Show. Faherty is a family-run brand making high-quality, timeless clothing with modern design and functionality. Now, I live in the Pacific Northwest where it rains, let's just say, a lot of the year. So when summer hits, we all put away the fleece and the Gore-Tex and maximize every minute of summer that we can. We start living on restaurant patios and getting out into nature. That's definitely what I've been doing so far this summer. Faherty has the perfect outfits for summer, whether it's their shirts, dresses, shorts, or more. Their products fit so well that it feels like you could have had them for years. They also prioritize sustainable fibers like organic cotton, ethically sourced cashmere, recycled polyester, linen, and hemp, all that good stuff. Plus, they try to use non-toxic dyes and water-efficient processes. Faherty is so confident in the quality of their stuff, they have a lifetime guarantee of quality. No matter what, they'll replace or fix your clothes forever. Now, summer is shorts weather, so check out their all-day shorts. They're made out of recycled plastic bottles, but they have a tiny bit of cotton, so they have that soft, natural feel, but they're quick drying. It's like the best of all of these worlds. You can even get them with or without belt loops, however you roll. I'm a belt loop guy, but if you don't like them, no problem. So get 20% off all your summer clothes now by going to FahertyBrand.com and using the promo code TPS at checkout. That's FahertyBrand.com. Brand.com with promo code TPS at checkout to get 20% off your summer clothes. Okay, now for this ad break, we're going to do something a little different. We want you to take a break. So unclench your jaw, relax your shoulders, and take a deep breath. I won't do that here on the microphone because no one needs to hear that. Sometimes we all need a reminder to take a little time for ourselves, and calm can help. We're partnering with Calm, the number one mental wellness app, to give you the tools that improve the way that you feel. With Calm, you can clear your head with guided daily meditations. That's what I do. You can improve your focus with Calm's curated music tracks and drift off to dreamland with Calm's imaginative sleep stories. I use these all the time. Over 100 million people around the world use Calm to take care of their minds. I'm personally one of those 100 million users. I've subscribed to Calm for years and happily renew every single year. And if you go to calm.com/TPS, you'll get limited time offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription, which includes hundreds of hours of programming. And new content is added every single week. Every day, I start my day with the Daily Calm, a daily guided meditation. And just last night, I was having trouble sleeping, so I used Calm Sleep Stories. You can either use them every night or just when you need them. I like listening to one about train journeys. I don't know why, that's just my thing. But last night, I actually listened to one about the Camino de Santiago. It worked so well, I was out of sleep before he even hit the trail. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering a special limited time promotion of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/TPS. Go to calm.com/TPS for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/TPS. Now, I'm a huge music listener. I have music on all day long, and obviously I love podcasts, so I'm excited to have Amazon Music sponsor the Productivity Show. Amazon Music is a streaming platform for both music and podcasts. They have over 10 million free podcast episodes to listen to, including from this show. Now, obviously by the name, in addition to podcasts, Amazon Music has tons of course, music. They have over 75 million songs, thousands of music stations, and top playlists. With Amazon Music Unlimited, you can listen to any song, anywhere, offline, and with unlimited skips. No matter what you're listening to, you can go hands-free with Alexa. Personally, most of my music listening is at home, and my podcast listening is when I'm taking a walk or going to the gym. I'll put something on using the Amazon Music app, or I'll just say, Alexa, play Instrumental Chill, or Alexa, play Hans Zimmer, if I need to focus. Those are both Amazon Music stations. For limited time, new customers can try Amazon Music Unlimited free for 30 days. No credit card is required. Just go to amazon.com/TPS30. That's amazon.com/TPS30 to try Amazon Music Unlimited free for 30 days. It renews automatically, but you can cancel anytime. Terms apply. This kind of like circles around a issue that we hear a lot from listeners and readers, this concept of people feel like they don't have balance in their life. You know, everybody wants to, especially people who work in maybe a corporate career and stuff like that, feel that they don't have this work-life balance. And it's something that they feel like they should be trying to get to. What do you think of that goal, the work-life balance goal? And do you have any tips one way or the other of ways to either A, achieve that, or B, to like maybe reframe that a little bit?
Yeah. So I struggle with the word balance. I'm not really a fan of it because I'm not really sure it's achievable. In my head, that's like a teeter-totter that now we've figured out how to balance it so that everything is perfect. And I think I look at it more as integration, where some days you're going to be more focused on work. Some days you're going to be more focused on your family or rest or play or whatever. You're not going to have X amount of hours on work and X amount of hours on play and sleep and family time that's going to be equal across a week. So I try to look at it. Let's look over the course of a week. And are you spending time on your big rocks, on the things that are important, on your family, on yourself, on your job? And like that, you know, that might mean some days you're working longer and maybe you cut out early from work on Friday so you can spend some time with your family, or you just need an hour to yourself, or you want to go exercise. And so across a week, you're going to cover all of that. And you may not think that you're doing it in the manner, in the balance that you want. But if you were to track your time, it shows you where your time is going. And you might see that you really are spending more time with your family. It might not, you know, Monday through Friday, you might be more focused on work, but you spend all of the weekend with your family. You spend most of your evenings. It may equal out to be roughly the same amount of time if that's what you're looking for. But it's, to me, it's an integration. So balance, we're never going to achieve that. And then we're going to feel bad about no matter what we're doing, because we feel like we should be doing something else while our mind is never present because we're always worried about something else. So for me, it's integration. It's really working the two together and focusing on wherever, whatever it is you're focused on right now. So it's work or it's family dinner or it's soccer practice with your kids or a night out with your partner, whatever that is, be present with that activity and let go of whatever you're not doing at that time. But balance, I don't think we're ever really going to get there. And that's okay. There are other ways to make that happen.
Yep. Like we said, the through line through all this is it's okay. As we go through this conversation, it's dawning on me that there's probably going to be quite a few partners listening to this episode that it's starting to dawn on them if they hadn't thought about it before, you know, not to say that they don't appreciate their overcommitted mom or overcommitted parent that they're with, but it's perhaps starting to dawn on them that they might have unconsciously allowed this situation, or the two of them have unconsciously allowed this situation to develop. Do you have any tips for a partner of an overcommitted mom that if they do want to help that integration, kind of like first steps that they could do to maybe try to work together to make things a little more equal?
Yeah. So one of the things that I recommend is to sit down with like a stack of index cards. Also, the cards that come with Fair Play, the book we mentioned earlier, can facilitate this conversation. I've also done it with a stack of index cards, and you write down on each card a task that is done, and an individual task. So it might be clean bathroom sink or mop the floors or vacuum or whatever, you know, all the steps of laundry. And you sit down and you dole out who does what in the house. And you could get your kids involved if you wanted. We have done this with our kids, but maybe start with the parents and the adults in the house and share out the cards of who does what currently. And it's a visual representation of where that balance, if you will, back to that word, falls. Who's doing more? And it's not a competition. Like, your goal isn't to have 50-50 cards. It's just to share who's doing what and to bring those invisible tasks out into the world. And then you can start a conversation from there of, does this feel fair? Does this not feel fair? How can we shift this? Who needs to take on another task to make this shift better? I remember a few months ago, my husband and I both work from home, and being home through this pandemic, we've done a lot of dishes in the last year. I'm so tired of dishes. And I realized one day I was feeling pretty consistently that you know, we'll run the dishwasher and then they're like dishes collect on top of the counter before we get to it. And I'm feeling like, oh, my husband doesn't really think that it's my job to empty the dishwasher because my job is a little more flexible. I'm with the kids a bit more. It must be up to me to do it. And I was talking to him about it one evening, and like, I know you don't feel this way, but this is how I feel when the dishes sit there all day. And to him, it was just, he knew the dishes were going to get done by one of us by dinner time. And it really didn't matter who. We try to do it pretty equally, but it wasn't like he was working going, God, I really wish my wife would just do the dishes. I'm so tired of the kitchen being dirty. Right. This was my mindset, even doing some of this work. And I just realized it really, you know, we need to just talk about this. And maybe each day somebody is in charge of the dishes. And then you just know by a certain time of day that the dishes are going to be taken care of. So it's having those conversations, talking about what that looks like. And it's not going to be just one conversation. It's going to be ongoing, daily, weekly, monthly, to make sure that things are whatever equitable looks like in your family. And it might shift as well. If somebody has a long commute, whoever is home more might take on a few more things, but it might be the person with a long commute takes on more on the weekends. And so it's those conversations where whatever side of that equation you fall on, start having those conversations. And using the note cards helps, it gives you a visual. So it helps you identify that. And then if you want to get your kids involved, we would have like a family meeting and like, all right, here are all the tasks that need to be done this weekend. And we try to make some of them fun. So it might be like a family board game or everybody gets to pick one fun thing we want to do that weekend. But then we're going to dole out who does what. And so it's across the board tasks are being taken care of. And we're all on the same page versus me sitting there on a Sunday morning going, okay, well, you do this and you need to do that. And I need all this stuff done. We're all in this together. And it's not just mom telling everybody what else to do.
It's occurring to me a good thing about the index cards too, is that it externalizes it in a way. It's not just the two couple or the couple and then maybe the kids are saying, I do this. Oh yeah, well I do this. You know, it's almost like a neutral third party, right? The pieces of paper on the desk really don't care who does what. It's externalized. So yeah, that's cool. That's a great tip. So one thing, my wife in particular, and I know a lot of moms, especially working moms, not that being at home isn't working, you know what I mean? moms with a career, let's just say that, outside of the home. I know one thing she struggles with a lot is at night. You know, she goes to bed and she just has loose ends from the day swirling in her head. It could be work stuff, could be family stuff, it could be other things. And sometimes she finds it difficult to sleep because of that. And she ends up, you know, binge watching Netflix or something like that. Do you have any tips for, I mean, not this specific situation, but ending the day in general on a in a productive and positive way? Do you have any tips for kind of helping with that?
Yeah. So one of the things I recommend, and I do this as well, is I keep a notebook by my bed because I'm the same. I'll lay down to read at night or to go to sleep, and suddenly the like 12 tasks I haven't thought of just pop into my head, and I want to write them down. And so keeping a notebook nearby where you can write them down. Ideally, it's not your phone. I'd love for your phone to be somewhere else outside of your room so that it's not distracting you, unless it is your alarm clock, in which case maybe it goes across the room so you don't have it right next to you, so you're not going to check email first thing in the morning or check email and sort of start into the social media rabbit hole right before going to bed, getting off those screens. So one is keeping a notebook by your bed or some way of writing down all of those thoughts. And it could just be every night you just have a journal that's a brain dump and you're going to write down everything that's on your mind, like from tasks you have to how the day went to everything you're worried about, any idea, just get it out of your brain. So externalize it. My 8-year-old daughter has a worry journal next to her bed because she just will lay awake at night stressed out like an adult sometimes. And so she has open up this journal and just write it all out. Just get it all out of your head. And then, you know, it's been taken care of, you know, it's documented, and then hopefully you can rest, as well as just all of the other tips of, you know, not looking at screens right before bed and trying to do some of that stuff, maybe some yoga, just something to calm yourself down and wind down a little bit would be the big ones. But really just a way to get it all out of your head is the biggest thing. It could be talking into something like something that will turn it into text for you if writing is not your thing. But any way to just get it out of your brain and document it. And then your brain knows that it's taken care of and you're not going to lay awake wondering about all of that.
Yeah, I love that journal tip. That's a great one. And if anyone hasn't tried this, if anyone is in this situation and hasn't tried something like that, I second Valerie's recommendation. I think it's a great tip. You mentioned that you work one-on-one with clients. Do you have any tips for listeners of maybe some of the low-hanging fruit, some of the more common things that you think could help?
Yeah. So one of the first things that I like to do, and this falls under the getting things done realm, is just knowing the next step of everything on your list. So really breaking things down into the smallest possible task. It might just be sending an email to somebody. It might be whatever the next smallest task is. So I had a client on her to-do list. It just said LASIK. And that's all. She wanted to schedule LASIK surgery. And like, your brain doesn't know what to do with that. It's going to see that and it's going to just move on to the next task. If you spend 5 minutes and break that down to, you need to call your health insurance and see what coverage you have. And then research, do that one day. And then the next day you're going to research 3 LASIK surgeons in the area. And then the next day, schedule appointments. Like, just break it down into those tasks. Write that all down. Then when you look at your to-do list, you're like, oh, I have 10 minutes. I can do this one task. Versus, I don't even know what LASIK means to my brain. I'm going to move on. I'm going to go play on social media. And then it never happens because you don't know what those next steps are. So that would be the first one. The other one is just really taking a look at what are the tasks that are going to have the biggest impact on you today, and how much energy do you have? So I may have a general list of like 3 to 5 things that I want to accomplish today, but let's say I didn't sleep well last night. So a couple of them require like some pretty good brain power that I just don't have today. I don't have it in me to sit down and write this blog post or do whatever this task is. So let's look at maybe tomorrow's list or a list of some things that might have some shorter, easier things that I can accomplish so that I'm still getting tasks done today, just not the big ones, because tomorrow maybe I'll have a little bit more energy to follow or to use. And of course, if you just keep pushing off that blog post, then we should talk and figure out why you're procrastinating on that. There might be something else going on there. And also the mindset around that, like, where is it that you're giving yourself more work? Is there something you can let go of? Are there things on your list that you're just rewriting from day to day and maybe you just need to let go of and not do? Or can you get yourself into the mindset to tackle that today, kind of that eating the frog first? What can I dive into today? But I think back to the knowing the next step is really one of the easiest, or not necessarily easiest, but most important things to do that helps you move forward and cuts out that procrastination.
Yeah, it's one of those productivity tips that is so high value. Like, it's such a game changer for whatever it is that you're struggling with, but it takes so little time to do. So yeah, I think that's a great low-hanging fruit tip, because if the people listening to this just do that one thing and nothing else from this episode, it will really, really make you more productive for sure.
Yeah, that's a big one.
All right. So we're kind of like getting ready to wrap it up here. If somebody is listening to this and some of these challenges resonate, aside from, I guess, breaking down the next action, what is either one thing that they should implement today or tomorrow, or alternatively, if there's something else you wanted to make sure to discuss on the podcast that we didn't get to, that is totally great too. But is there anything, any kind of like closing tips or resources or anything you'd like to leave the listeners with?
I think the biggest one, and we have talked about this a little bit, is, or several in several spots here, is the having those conversations. So using those note cards, having a family meeting or that discussion. And I understand that some moms might hear this and be like, oh, this is just one more thing for me to have to do. Like, let's just add one more thing for my to-do list. And I get that. I fully do. My goal is not to give you more things to add to your to-do list. But I think adding in this conversation in the long run is going to give you more time. It's going to give families more time, because it's taking things off of your plate and spreading that around the family. We're all in this together, essentially. And I want those conversations to happen to where they just become a natural part of your household. And having those conversations will give you that time once you've started to implement them and implement the tasks that you talk about and the things that you talk about from there. And there's more we could get into on what family meetings might look like or what those conversations might look like and things to talk about. But I think starting those conversations and having them with those note cards to really figure out who's doing what when, and then the expectations around that as well. So it doesn't mean that you get to assign somebody else a task and then nag them to do it. Like, you are just handing over that task and letting them take care of it. And it's not on your plate anymore. It's not something that you need to worry about anymore. So when I ask, I'm talking with my husband, we just bought a new truck. We need to register it. And like, this is on you. I'm not going to remind you. This is now your job. I'm staying out of it. And so I don't have to think about it anymore. I can take that off my list. It's now on him to take care of. And so anything that you can get off of your plate in that way will free up brain power for you to focus on your other big rocks. And I think that what I would suggest is the next step and something that people can take from here is just starting that conversation and moving forward from there.
Actually, I can't resist asking one thing about that. You mentioned family meetings. How often would you recommend people have those meetings? Would it be like a weekly thing, bi-weekly, monthly? What kind of cadence have you found is the most effective for that?
Yeah, I would have one at least once a week, maybe to start with more often, if that would be helpful. But once a week, it could be on, say, a Friday afternoon, and you're going to have family. If you're doing a full family meeting with everybody in the household, plan it before something fun. So maybe it's we have the family meeting and we order a pizza, we watch a family movie, or we play games, or it's we go take a hike, or whatever that looks like. But have it on ideally the same day every week. And so you just know you're going to fall into that, and follow it by something fun. We have learned the hard way that if you have the family meeting followed immediately by all of the household chores you just talked about, it's not going to go as well as if you do something fun first and then dive into the household chores. So try to do something fun as a unit before you dive into that. But once a week would be should be good enough.
I love that. All right. If somebody has questions on anything we talked about, or maybe this all sounds great, but they can foresee some sticky situations that might come up out of some of these conversations and they want some extra advice or anything else that you help people with, where's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
Yeah. So they can find me on social media. I'm on LinkedIn and Instagram and Facebook. I'm under Home Most Simple. And they can go check out my website. Also has several ways to get in touch with me as well, through email, or I believe there are connections to social media on there as well, but definitely ways to message me. And I would be happy to answer questions, or if something came up that they want to talk about further from this episode, I would be happy to chat with anybody on those topics.
All right, Valerie. Well, thank you so much for being here. I know a lot of people are going to get a lot of value out of this. And this is one area of productivity where the sooner you take action, the more benefit you're going to have. And the longer you wait, the more, not that the more challenging it's going to be, but early action is better with this sort of thing for sure. So thank you so much for being on the podcast. Really, really appreciate it. And have a great rest of your day.
Well, thank you.